Hello and welcome. This is the SDF Amateur Radio Club Weekly Net for the the 28th of February 2022. That's the Sierra Delta Foxtrot, the Super Dimension Portrait. And if you are not familiar with SDF, it is a public access Unix system that you can learn more about by directing your web browser to sdf.org. I will pause now for priority traffic or to allow you to disconnect from this conference if you don't want to hang around for our net. Okay, interesting here. Usually when I do the net here, I call into the SDF VOIP server extension 1095 so that the net can be sort of simulcast over the AnonRadio.net internet stream. And there's actually some people who listen to us over there. But there seems to be some issue with the SDF VOIP or SIP server, and it's not working today. So, and I see in the chat in comm over here that it's not just me. It's happening to other people as well. So, all right, I'll stop worrying about that. And we'll just proceed without the Anon Radio feed there. So, where am I in my script here? Here I am. I am Alpha Bravo 9, Foxtrot Juliet, the net control operator today. My name is Wayne, and I'm located in Urbana, Illinois. My SDF username is JWH. This net meets every Monday at 0 hour Zulu via Echolink node 9229, which is the TechLink conference. And we would like to thank Michael, VE7KI, for letting us use this conference for our net. This is a directed net. That means that if you have something to say, give your call sign and wait for the net control to acknowledge you. This net is open to all radio amateurs and is not limited to members of the SDF Amateur Radio Club. We'd like to have a question of the week to kickstart our discussion. And this week, it seems like war is kind of in the air. So I thought that, you know, ham radio in wartime might be an interesting topic to talk about. Speaking as an American, a USian, I know that during World War I and World War II, amateur radio operators were told to get off the air and stay off. In fact, I think they actually collected radio equipment from amateur operators, and I think some of that equipment got requisitioned to the military forces. But that was way before I was even born. I think ever since World War II, the other thing about World War I and World War II, they silenced amateur radio operators. In the Korean conflict, I don't think that happened, and I'm sure it didn't happen in Vietnam or later conflicts. So what that means is that it's possible that there are ham radio operators who have experience with talking to other hams in war zones. And I can think off the top of my head places like Afghanistan, Iraq, South Sudan, Ethiopia, Eritrea, Bosnia, Serbia, maybe Colombia even. And I'm sure you can think of a lot of other places where war is going on. Yeah, I should have expected that Echolink would time out on me there. So perhaps you have actually talked to a ham in an area where war is going on. Or failing that, I'm curious about the experience of hams in other countries besides the United States. In your country, which conflicts did the government decide to shut down amateur radio where you live? So let me check the dashboard here, and I see K7PJP has joined us. Hi, Paul. And I don't see any other new call signs there. So I've got a list of potential check-ins here, and I'm going to read the list. I see VK6BQQ, KN6SIJ, KC3LYZ, KD9NDJ, and K7PJP. So I will go down the list and give everybody a chance to speak. But first, I'll ask if there's anyone who did not hear their call sign and want to be added to my list. Come forward now. Okay, no new call signs heard. So I will start going down my list here, starting with BK6BQQ.
AB9FJ in the group, BK6BQQ, Reg here in Western Australia. Good morning. Yes, and the latest I see on AOL is Elon Musk has sent over some equipment to Ukraine for the Starlink system, so that's a good thing. Here in Australia, our Prime Minister has gone forward and mentioned that he's in with NATO, so I guess things are going to heat up. Anyway, amateur radio, yeah, well, we're all independent, we're all federally licensed, and during the war, I guess they did cut off things, but so far, we're all right. We're an independent group, and each individual is responsible for their station, so if you can communicate with people around the world, get at it. It's quite a hobby, that's for sure, but in this time and situation, I think it's imperative that we monitor a lot of frequencies to see who's on there and in what way we can help. Anyway, with that, we have a meeting this morning with a few of the boys in regards to our event coming up March 1st. So we'll be discussing it. We will be on this very conference and a bunch of other conferences on an open ceremony at the RAF Museum here in Bull Creek. I'll be in Lancaster, and we'll have some VIPs around, and some photographers, and newspapers, etc. Maybe even TV will be there. But we're going to have quite an experience, I would think. We're celebrating the event of the Lancaster during the war, and also the ATA, the ladies that ferried these things around. So things are happening. Good topic, I think, for now. Wayne, that's it. Geez, I got a good memory, but short. Back to net. BK6BQQ. Good morning from West Australia.
Okay, good day, Reg. Thanks for checking in. And I forgot to mention, one of the things that prompted me to pick this topic is that Ukraine, the government silenced the Ukraine ham operators. So, which I guess they're worried about Russian spies, which is the typical reason why they do that and why they did that in the United States and during the World Wars and probably in many other parts of the world during those conflicts. So I don't think it's very likely that you're going to make contact with a Ukrainian ham, but if you do, well, that'll be very interesting. So moving along here, next on my list is KN6SIJ. And I think you're new here, so if you have any questions about what this net is about, what the SDF is about, go ahead and ask them, and I'll try to answer them.
Thank you, Wayne. This is Eric Swenson from SoCal, California. I don't really have an awful lot to contribute here. I'm actually having to run in about 5 minutes, or maybe less than that. I just wanted to see what this is all about. I heard from Stephen at the Living Computer Museum about this net, and I thought maybe in the future I might be able to participate. But I think you picked a fascinating topic, Wayne, and I wish I could stay to contribute, but I'm probably going to have to leave in about a minute or so. But thanks again for the opportunity. This is KN6SIJ.
Okay, well, you're very welcome, Eric. We do this every week at the same time. We go by the UTC, so daylight savings time does not, converting to local time, yes, then it's a problem. But anyway, it's always 0 hour Zulu when we start this set. Thank you for joining us today. Next on my list is KC3LYZ.
This is KC3LYZ, Bob in Philadelphia, SDF username Robert R. Now, I haven't made any contacts with anybody in a war area, but I did hear about the Ukraine thing recently where they banned hams there. I hear there may be a few pirates running on the 80 meters there from Ukraine. Back to net control.
Aha. I'm not very active on HF, so I have not heard that myself, so that's interesting. Now, when you say pirates, do you mean that they're just operating as usual without identifying themselves, or are they doing like like propaganda or speeches and that sort of thing?
I'm not really sure. I have to look into that more.
Okay, thanks, Robert. Next on my list is KD9NDJ.
Good evening, Wayne. This is KD9NDJ, Ken in Rantoul, Illinois. I have not made radio contact with anybody in a war. I've tried to avoid wars whenever possible. When I was a kid, Vietnam was raging, and I squeaked by without being drafted, and I was delighted about that. But I do know somebody in Ukraine. Dell and I have a friend that's stuck there. He's been in Ukraine teaching English, I believe, and his fate was that he got COVID and dithered around and couldn't exit. So now that he's got COVID, he's really stuck there. So we're pretty concerned about this guy. Anyway, that has nothing to do whatsoever with radio. And I haven't been tuning around on HF lately, but it'd be interesting to know if anything is coming our way from that area. War is hell. So anyway, that's all I got on that topic. Back to you, AB9FJ. This is KD9NDJ.
Okay, and real quick, I don't remember. Did you give your handle and your SDF username?
I did not. I am Ken Beck at SDF. I should be KDB, but you can't change your handle once you get one. Anyway, back to you, Wayne.
Well, if you mean that you cannot change your SDF username, I understand that it is possible to do that, but it probably involves like a donation or something to motivate the admins to go to the trouble. But if you're talking about like the FCC version of your handle, that's a different story there. So I'll leave that alone. Next on my list here is K7TJP.
Good afternoon, Wayne, and hello to all on net. This is Paul, K7PJP. I am PJP on SDF. I actually was using my call as my SDF handle for a while, and my solution, since I really didn't have a heck of a lot that I had done with my account, was just to create a new one and abandon the old, just because I didn't want to singularly use my call. For a while, I was using my call to sign up for all sorts of services, but I decided against it. I haven't made any contact with anyone in any kind of war zone in the past. It's been a very long time, actually, since I have been on HF, but that should change in the next couple of months. I've recently moved into a new home where I am able to operate on HF as opposed to my previous residence, and in the process of setting things up, I finally have my VHF and UHF station set up a bit better than I had in the past, and I'm looking forward to continuing to develop that and to get back on HF, because that's where, to me, the fun is at, really. Although there's plenty of things you can do on VHF and UHF as well. This is K7PJP, back to net.
Okay, good to hear from you, Paul. But you know, what you said there, I also have an account on SDF, but with my call sign, AB9FJ at SDF. And it's handy because it's like my call sign, and it's a short domain. You know, if you're a member of the ARRL, you can get a mail reflector account on their ARRL.net domain, but you have to be a member. So that's like, you know, $30, $40 a year to maintain your membership. But once you're a member of SDF, you're good for life. So if you just want to have a nice, short email address that, you know, goes with your call sign, and it, you don't have to pay every year to keep it up, then SDF is a an option for that. So, and I think what you were saying was that maybe you were using it as a throwaway address, and there are other places that you can get throwaway addresses from. I think I would reserve my SDF call sign address for ham stuff rather than for throwaway stuff, like, you know, signing up for a newsletter or something on a new website, that kind of thing. But anyway, thanks for joining us, Paul. And that brings us to the bottom of my list here. So I'm ready to take rechecks if anyone would like to come back and add something to what they had said previously. Okay, well, it looks like it's going to be a short net tonight. That's okay. So let me make this a final call for new check-ins or rechecks. Okay, this concludes the SDF Amateur Radio Club net at, where are we here, about 0021. If you would like to continue the conversation, I think the SMR, the SDF DMR talk group still exists at 31650. Or you can join us in comm on SDF in the Anon Radio Room. That's about it. This is Net Control Station AB9FJ saying 73.
Hey, Wayne, if you're still there, this is K7PJP. I have a question about DMR.
But fair warning, What's the DMR skeptic, I guess you might say. I'm not really very knowledgeable about it, but maybe your question, maybe I know the answer. Try it anyway.
It seems that maybe you don't know, but yeah, worth asking. I'm not on DMR yet. I thought about getting a DMR radio, but one of the things I have been hearing people talk about is, you know, there's the various DMR networks, and one of them is a TGIF network, and I was looking at that, and the way I understand it, it doesn't seem like this is a network that is accessible via repeaters, and that it is only available via hotspots, so essentially you're just using your radio to talk to your computer, which then becomes a very convoluted VoIP. Which may be part of the reason you're skeptical about DMR, but I'm trying to understand if I've got that right or not.
Okay. One, I've never heard of this TGIF. Two, I certainly don't know enough about DMR to... I forget exactly what the phrasing of your question was. Three, I'm thinking, you know, it sounds an awful lot like Echolink. Echolink with a radio instead of a PC in front of you. And, you know, I'm okay with that. Actually, I'm a little bit more okay with that than I am with DMR in general. My problem with DMR is that this is a technology that was invented for a group of users that's very different from ham radio operators. And so the technology was optimized for the needs of that particular group of users, not for the needs of ham radio operators. And so that means that ham radio operators have always, you know, adapted commercial technology that wasn't meant for ham radio to ham radio, and it's always been a great thing. And I applaud that and so on. But in the case of DMR, it drags in a lot of this baggage from, you know, the public safety and commercial users. I mean, just as an example, on a commercial or a public safety radio system, they don't want the users modifying the frequencies or anything in the radio. So it's a very closed kind of system. You have to have these code plugs that somebody else has to produce for you. You don't have buttons on your radio that you can do that yourself. So that's an example of the kind of thing that's very anti-ham, is what I would say. And opposed to that, we have D-Star, we have Yaesu System Fusion. You know, there are alternatives to DMR that were by hams, for hams, and I say we should go with those. So that's why I just kind of hands off on DMR. Rant over. Let me reset. So Did I half answer your question, or did it help at all?
Well, it sounds like, no, I'm glad you clarified what your concerns with DMR are. I have had in the past some of those concerns, and without going into it or whatever, I've kind of, it's evolved, and I haven't done it yet. I do understand and respect those concerns. I'll have to ask some of the people who have talked about this, about some of these networks, because that seemed confusing to me. It does sound a little like Echo Link, where here I am on my iPhone talking to you, who's probably in front of a computer, and there's no radio involved. But there is, but there's no no RF technology that I'm controlling. this is the evolved world we live in. back to you, K7PJP.
Yeah, I think a while back somebody dared me to link up our local 2-meter repeater, which is EchoLink capable, to the TechLink conference during an SDSnet just to see what would happen. And I don't remember that I got any comments or anything from the local hams about it. The repeater's been kind of quiet for a couple of years now, so I imagine that there might have been a few people who listened to it and just didn't pay much attention. So I say that to say that I could have used ham radio RF to access Echolink. But it's usually easier, and actually there's some benefits to using I'm using a Windows PC and the Echolink app for Windows to access Echolink. And it lets me do some things. It lets me see who else is connected. It lets me record the net so that I can upload it to SDF for people, for the archive, so that people who miss the net can listen to it later. So anyway, I'm blathering here. Do any other comments? Go ahead.
KC3LYZ with a comment about the DMR.
Go ahead, Robert.
Okay, yeah, I've actually been pretty active at DMR. I've used that TGIF network, and it seems to run pretty good. It's true that there aren't too many repeaters connected to it. It's mostly you connect either with a hotspot or with, they have a phone app you can use called DroidStar that connects to different digital apps. And one thing I like about with the All-Star node, with the Clear node, you can connect into a lot of different digital modes with just a regular analog radio.
Okay, well, that's pretty cool. We should probably talk about this sometime. Maybe a future net topic will be hotspots and some of the things that you can do with them besides just the major D-Star and DMR and Yaesu system fusion thing. Okay, if that's all, I'm going to wrap it up here in a minute here. Anything else? Okay, this is AB9FJ. I'm saying 73 for now. Bye, all.
KC3LYZ, this is KM6SIJ. You have time for a question?
Okay, go ahead, Eric.
Hi, I had a question regarding the connection between this Echolink node and a local repeater. Is that a local repeater in Seattle?
There is a repeater in Seattle that is Echolink connected. That's the, what is it, the KK7PSR, something like that. That's the Puget Sound Repeater Group repeater on 2 meters.
And do you know whether or not that that repeater is linked, far and beyond that area, like maybe to Winchester or something that extends all the way down here to California?
Well, if you're talking about a permanent link, I do not know. And in fact, I kind of doubt that they are. But they are an Echolink node and an All-Star node, and they might even be IRLP. I'm not sure about that, though. Now, being in a major metropolitan area, I'm not sure what their policies are about somebody coming along and linking their repeater to some Echolink node somewhere else in the world. They might want to discourage that. I don't know.
Paul, K7PJP here, if I may.
Yes, Paul, go ahead.
Yeah. I actually Yeah, the WW7 PSR repeater in Seattle is one of many Seattle repeaters that is that does have an Echolink connection. Sorry, that's my oven beeping. It is not permanently connected to any other repeaters or Echolink nodes or conferences. That being said, it is a very popular repeater and has nets twice daily, 9 a.m., 9 p.m., actually 3 nets daily, because there's also a noon net now. And there are many Echolink and All-Star nodes that connect to it for the net, including conferences. It is welcome. I will say from experience as a net host that having conferences connect to nets can cause a heck of a lot of confusion. When I'm hosting the net, I often have to drop the connection because the node will connect and people are having a conversation with crosstalk when they connect. So they start talking over us, so it can get a little messy. It is certainly welcome to connect nodes. It does not have the IRLP because there's a whole thing where you have to use the IRLP hardware now, and that pretty much means almost anyone who has Echolink and All-Star doesn't have IRLP unless they've done some advanced connectivity, because they're often using the same hardware to do. Trying to use the same hardware to do all of that, but hope that helps. K7 PJP.
Yes, thank you. That helps quite a bit. As you probably guessed from my blundering net protocol manners, I'm a newbie at all of this. I just am a recent licensee, and I'm active in the Aries CERT network in the Santa Cruz area now, but I'm only beginning to figure out things like Echolink and anything beyond, and don't have a clue about such things as DMR and IRLP and some of the other technologies that you mentioned yet, but I'm learning. So thanks very much for explaining some things to me. Take care. KN6 says hi, Jay.
Okay, well, you're very welcome, Eric, and like I said, we do this every week, so come back again in the future.
And I thank you very much, Wayne. This is KN6 SIJ. Back to you.
And AB9FJ, I'll be signing off.
AB9FJ, BK6BQQ. You still here?